Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series. On this episode, we talk with engineer, co-founder, and certified biofeedback specialist, Deepak Shari. He helps women and men release hidden emotional blocks from stress, anxiety, and past emotional experiences with an advanced voice biofeedback technology so they can feel calm, confident, and empowered, attract the relationships they desire, enhance their current relationships, and improve their business success. He is the co-founder of the Shari Center of Health, an engineer and certified biofeedback specialist, and the creator of the Life Transformation Technology Program with advanced voice biofeedback to promote emotional healing, mental clarity, and peak performance. Clients often walk away with a completely new understanding of themselves and a sense of relief in realizing that it's not a personal failure, but a pattern that can be identified and shifted. It's an incredible story. From his base in Sarasota, Florida, we get into the whole journey. Enjoy this interview. Okay, cool. Well, let's hop in here. It's so good to meet you. Thank you so much for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Joe. It's a pleasure.
So before we get into your stellar work, I want to know this. 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing so much about the way we live and who we are. How did you get through that era? And how has it changed the way that you approach work and life today?
Oh, and it changed everything, honestly, because my sister and I had the Shari Center of Health, the in-office practice in San Diego for 25 years. And when that COVID happened, we literally had to close our doors down because, you know, everyone was in lockdown. And we had to also get these tests to show we didn't test positive for COVID. And I'm kind of a rebellious kind of character. So I said to my sister, I'm not doing that. You know, and you have to pay for that a significant amount for each of us every week to show you didn't test positive. Suffice to say, the game is rigged, but I won't go there. But anyway, I said, I'm not going to do it. Let's close our doors down and let's think another approach. What can we do here? I said, why don't we just go virtual? She goes, well, we're used to seeing people in the office. I said, yeah, but why can't we do everything virtual? You know, all the scans, everything, we can do it virtual. She goes, oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah. So we did that, and we've been virtual since. So that was since that COVID time.
Wow.
Okay. So in answer to your question, it was a major change, but in a wonderful way.
Yeah.
Because, my sister is licensed to see people in California or Florida, but I can see people anywhere in the U.S. or world, and I have. So I'm not limited to any area. So in a way, it was actually very liberating. So great question.
You know, that's what I noticed about the pandemic was that this virtual realm, getting in the area of medicine and mental health was huge because people have to prepare, they have to drive, they have to do all of this when they can just go to their computer in their native natural environment and pull up and get anything that they would. I mean, it doesn't take away from being in person and that human connection that we need to have. But I think at the end of the day, it was really good that we have that option of kind of cutting out all of that extra time and just getting to it.
Absolutely. And another part I'd like to mention is many people are usually stressed to go to a doctor's office. It's like, oh my God, I got to drop off my kids at school. Then I have to go through bumper to bumper traffic. I hope I get there in time. But even if I get there in time, and this usually happens in most doctor's offices, you know that, you might have to wait 25 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. And then when you do get to see the doctor, he'll be like, what was your name again? And they don't even look at your face. I know because I've experienced this personally and my other clients have. And you're just a number and then you're done in a couple minutes. He says, wow, I spent like hour and a half waiting and now I saw him for like 2 minutes and I don't think he even looked at my face. So we wanted to change that whole game. So yes, I know what you're saying about the personal thing. There is a magic to that. But what if we could do it in person? Say, look, you don't have to drop off your kids. Find the most comfortable room in your house for us to do this. Because sometimes you see metal and steel, and that's not so comforting, right? In some doctor's office. What if you do from the comfort of your home? You don't have to drop off anything. You don't have to go to bumper to bumper traffic. When we say a time, we start then.
Yeah.
You know when you start, when you'll be done. So no stress there either. And it's personalized for you, and we get the same results as if you're in person.
Yep.
So that's how we changed our model.
So I want to get into your world, your groundbreaking world of biofeedback. And I want you to explain your job. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to put you in front of 13-year-olds. It's career day. One of the kids wants you to synthesize your work to make sense to their brains. How do you explain your day job?
Okay. So I have an engineering background originally, but I ended up moving into this new field. And by the way, it started with my own emotional journey. And I can share that with your listeners and viewers if you're interested, because it's how I got into this. But the point is, what I do is advanced voice biofeedback. Now, many people have heard of biofeedback, maybe 13-year-olds, I'm not sure, but definitely many people, you know, heard of that word. They say, oh yeah, I've heard of biofeedback. And that's biofeedback from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But this is not that one. This is the next generation. I call it the Star Trek level for Trekkie fans, but it's the next generation of biofeedback, and it uses the sound of your voice. And why the sound of your voice? Because I have found, and I was trained in this, your voice is the most accurate, super accurate reflection of what's going on in your subconscious mind. And to a 13-year-old kid, there's two minds that we have, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. 95 to 99% of our total mind is the subconscious mind. The remaining 1 to 5% is the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the one that says, oh, I got to accomplish these things. This is my grocery list. Oh, did I forget to bring the bread? You know, and that's the conscious mind. The subconscious mind runs all our organs, processes every feeling, thought, and emotion that we ever had since we were born, including our limiting beliefs. And so when I listen to a person's voice, I create what are called computerized voice maps, which is like an emotional heat map of what's going on in their subconscious. Maybe they were frustrated about something, sad about something, guilty or regretful about something, traumatized about something, emotionally triggered about something. I can pick that up. And it doesn't matter how they speak with their voice, whether they speak in a soft voice. How's everything going with you, ma'am? Oh, everything, Deepak, is a bowl of cherries. The sunshine is out. I feel fantastic. But I'll listen to their voice and I'll say, wonderful, ma'am. Can you please tell me what you're really extremely upset and angry about? Because I can see below all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and it doesn't matter if they had a soft voice or not. My equipment is super sensitive, so it can go deep into it. It might have an extreme emotion, even though their voice is soft. So people can fudge a lie detector, but they can't fudge this. So that's the cool thing with this work. And that's also helpful because I can exactly see what's going on. Many people are not even consciously aware that they're even feeling these things. So I have found that there are four phases we all go through, because I should probably share about my journey, because this will all make sense how I got into this, and it'll all explain everything. So when I was growing up as a kid, since I was around 8 or 9, I perceived that I was being bullied by other kids. Well, I think I was. So because I was kind of a loner kid, I was a bookworm. I had trouble fitting in with people, socializing, had very low self-confidence, low self-esteem, probably not any. So I was kind of pushed around a little bit and that kind of thing. And I know many kids go through that. So my safe haven, Joe, was the library. I would hide out in the library and different aisles at different times, whichever was safer at the time. And I spent kind of a long time there. So while I was camping out, okay, this aisle is safer, I would seemingly randomly grab books from the shelf, which I found weren't so random later on. They were books on Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People, How the Law of Attraction Works, and, you know, As a Man Thinketh, you know, wonderful books. I just randomly, seemingly grabbed them. Well, I didn't realize, Joe, that I was actually imprinting my subconscious to think in a different way and, you know, to face my challenging, fearful outcome of dealing with all these bullies. So over the years, I kept getting bullied and I was hoping it would end sometime. But it evolved from being pushed around to, you don't fit in our group, Deepak. In fact, you don't fit in any group we have. So you're on your own. So that's kind of how I felt my life. Then I thought, you know what? When I graduate from high school, this will all end, because this is childish behavior.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It didn't. It continued in different ways. So it continued with my professors, my classmates, my friends, my relationships. In other words, I drew the most narcissistic, mean, cruel, manipulative, gaslighting, every negative thing you can think of a person. Those are my friends, my classmates, my professors, and my relationships. So I thought, wow, I thought this was supposed to end, but it's continuing. But then I thought, this was my logic at the time, Joe. It's better to have these horrible, mean, narcissistic, controlling, manipulative people than nobody, because then I'll have no one. That's what happened my whole life, in my childhood.
Yeah.
Of course, that was not logical. That was not proper, but that's what they thought at the time. Now, I should also add this piece into the puzzle because it all connects. As I was also growing up as a kid, and I have a younger sister, I used to give my dad his high blood pressure medication. I didn't know why he had it, and it'll all make sense in a minute, but I used to give it to him every day. And he said, oh, this is going to help me with my health and all. So I said, okay, great. But then suddenly at the age of 51, he suddenly died of a massive heart attack. No explanation, nothing. So my mom was a widow and she had two teenage kids. So we were kind of devastated by this. So I looked at my sister, who was younger than me, and I said to her, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Then we paused a minute and we both said to each other, how can we prevent this from happening to anyone else so they don't go through the trauma we're going through now? So it became a passion of ours. My sister said, I'm going to go into medicine, but I'm not only going to study, I'm going to study conventional medicine so I'm listened to, but I'm going to practice a natural form of medicine. I'm going to do something totally different. And I said, well, I'll be an engineer because my dad was an engineer, and kind of tribute to him. So I decided to do that. So fast forward, I became an engineer, improving productivity and efficiency in all the companies I worked in. The presidents and CEOs loved it because I was able to improve that. When my sister and I formed a partnership to form the Chari Center of Health, my last name is Chari, in tribute to what happened to our father. And she worked on natural solutions for healing and she worked on tons of people and had amazing results and no side effects. So I was observing her while I was doing my job and I thought, gosh, you know what? I think what she's doing is more exciting than what I'm doing. Yes, I'm improving productivity and efficiency, which is okay seeing those graphs and charts. But when you change someone's life, yeah, especially health-wise, it not only changes their life, but all the people around them. And I saw that. I think that's what I want to shift to. So I said, but wait a minute, I have an engineering background. What am I going to do at our center? So remember, I was stuck in the library with those books and I didn't know what to do. This is all connects.
Yeah.
I said, I read books on the law of attraction, law of manifestation. Maybe I can do something here. So I said, universe, can you somehow guide me in some way so I can work at the own center that I formed a partnership with my sister? Can you give me the tools, techniques, whatever, to do something at our center to heal people? Yeah, I said it like that. A couple of weeks later, all those negative people around me, which I still had, they suddenly said to me, Deepak, you don't fit with us. We don't want to be around you anymore. We're leaving. They all started leaving. Even the cruel manipulative bosses, let go from those jobs, the relationships left me, friends left me. And I said, oh my God, I'm alone. I did this and I'm alone. But guess what? 2 weeks later, the most wonderful people, Joe, that I've never experienced in my life came into my life, nurturing, loving, supportive, encouraging. I never had that my whole life.
Yeah.
So then I tell this to your viewers and listeners because even if you've never had that experience in your life, a loving, nurturing, supportive relationship, wonderful friends, you can have that.
Yeah.
Because I never had it. I didn't even know what that's like. That's why I shared this. So then I got inspired. I said, if I can change my life, maybe I can change others' lives. Now, I was 2 weeks after I made that intention, these friends of mine came up to me and said, Deepak, this guy's going to be speaking in Santa Monica, California. We lived in San Diego at the time, of how your voice reveals everything in your subconscious mind. And most importantly, how certain frequencies and advanced technologies could be sent to the person to release those limiting patterns, regardless of how long you've had them. So that's what also manifested. I forgot. And when I said all these people came, wonderful people came to me, this is the part I'm adding in here that was the missing element. Then I was guided by the friends because of my law of intention to go to that seminar in live. So after he told of how you can shift these patterns, I went up to him and I said, I would like to apprentice with you to learn this. He says, okay, I'm just going to take one more person. And I happened to be the last one. He had some health conditions. I didn't know that at the time. So I was just got in. So I was trained in it. I learned the technique. He goes, okay, I think you got it down. I could clear trauma, anger, sadness, guilt, shame, limiting beliefs in anyone. So I thought, before I work on a single person at the center that I formed a partnership with my sister, let me see, can I clear this pattern within myself? I mean, I thought to myself, Joe, is this like the movie The Matrix? And maybe your viewers and listeners saw the movie The Matrix, where you had Neo and Morpheus, right? Neo was this kind of regular guy, but he so almost became like superhuman and superhero when Morpheus worked on him to clear those limiting patterns and program in a positive way. So I said, if this is a pattern, this bullying pattern, maybe I wasn't destined to have it my whole life. So I worked on myself creating these computerized voice maps, and it shows when that limiting pattern is cleared. It's not subjective. So I felt like, whoa, something shifted, and it showed that in the voice map. Let's see what happens. That's when 2 weeks later, all those negative people said, we don't want to be around you. But then all these wonderful people appeared in my life.
Wow.
So then I said, okay, now I'm going to work on one person after another to change their lives. And now thousands of people later all over the US and world evolved as a result of what I originally went through.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So during this time of bullying and finding yourself and getting to this better place in your life, who was that hero? Who was the inspiration that allowed you to kind of stay in the game and to feel okay about living?
Well, it was after I put my intention out there in my last hope effort to get some kind of semblance of, okay, maybe I could work in our center, that I became inspired that, you mean these are patterns that you can clear? That you don't have to be destined to suffer your whole life with? Like, well, that's your life. That's how it is. You know, like, you know how people say, that's my karma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my interpretation of this is, Joe, and you might find this interesting, I think of the word karma as like a program, computer program. Way back in the day, maybe 10,000 years ago from the ancient texts, they used the word karma, right? From way back when in those, but they didn't have computers, or maybe they did, but we weren't aware of them.
Yeah.
So think of it as a program. If you have a negative programming within yourself and you don't make any changes, you have a computer with malware in it. You don't say, I'm not going to clean it up. I'm not going to do anything. Well, eventually it'll take over your computer and just take it out the computer altogether. Same thing. If you have those limiting negative programs and you don't do anything about it, your karma, which you're considering negative, will continue. But what if you clear those negative programmings and program it in a positive way? Then you'll have positive karma. Oh, what? No one talks about positive karma. Yeah, positive programming. And what's interesting is, in this process of learning this, I have found, Joe, that there are four phases we all go through, and it explains the reason why I got all this bullying pattern to begin with, and even what happened to my father. Would you be interested in your listeners and viewers to find out what that is?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So after going through all these years of work, I've now been doing this work for 20 years, I found there's four phases we go through that create all these challenges in our life. By the way, it has nothing to do with who we are as a person. We could be the nicest, sweetest person in the world, and I've worked with them. But it's these imprints and patterns. The first phase is when your parents decide to procreate you. And I know I'm being kind of direct and blunt here, but think of it from a quantum science angle. In the moment your parents are procreating this new child, the issue is whatever unresolved emotions, let's say the father had in his life, gosh, I got a raw deal. I should have been much higher level position in my job. Someone took my position. I had a rough childhood growing up and I never got over it. I'm in this relationship with this woman, which I'm not so happy with, but I hope it improves sometime. You know, she's, you know, all these imprints, that unresolved emotion, a certain percentage of that, which I can quantify with my technology, downloads to the energy field of this new child that's being created. And the same with the mom. What if the mom is saying, well, I hope this child we're having will bring us together closer. You know, but I had it, you know, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to be a mom, but, and I hope this relationship will work out. And I had a rough upbringing. A certain percentage of her unresolved emotions could download into the imprint of this child who has nothing in its heart, right? It's a clean otherwise.
Yeah.
But guess what I also found? A certain percentage of the unresolved emotions of the grandparents, which I can also quantify, gets downloaded to this energy field of this child too. And by the way, it doesn't matter if your grandparents died way before you were born. The imprints are in the energy field. This is called quantum physics. So if your dad's dad had addiction issues, alcoholism, something like that, and he never resolved it in his life, then a certain percentage of that unresolved issue can download. Or if he had anger management issues or depression or, you know, in the different wars in the past, you know, which nobody really had any solution for those traumas, a certain percentage of that can get downloaded. That it can even supersede what you downloaded from your parents. And think about this, Joe. How many times have you seen somebody's grandkid walk, act, and talk like the grandparent that died way before they were born. I have seen it many times. And the kid, you know, will kind of talk like Grandpa Joe, kind of tilt his head sideways, kind of think like him too, and have the personality of him, but he died way before the kid was born. And the parents are like, wait a minute, he's just like Grandpa Joe. These are imprints. I mean, we have the, you know, the DNA downloads, like the hair color, eye color, height, weight. But there's also another aspect which no one talks about or is aware. The emotional imprints are the same way too.
Yeah.
So, okay, I talked about phase one. That's all in phase one. Now, phase two is when you're in your mom's womb for 9 months. Whatever feelings, thoughts, or emotions she had, or regrets, or guilt, or shame, or gosh, I wanted to jet set around the world. Now I have this kid. I'm kind of stuck. I can't do what I want now. I'm not happy in this relationship, and we're fighting all the time with my partner. The kid picks this up directly. Okay, no filtration. Now phase three comes along. Already these two phases? Phase three is when you're born into the world. Now you have the direct interface of the parents, could be grandparents, teachers, and people older than us that have a huge impact on us. And I also found out, Joe, that from the age of zero, from the time you're born till the age of seven, and this is documented, whatever is said or unfortunately done to the kid goes deep into the imprint of the subconscious without any question. It's not questioned at all. So for example, if the parent said to the kid, God, you're so slow. Why couldn't you have been smarter like the other people, the kids in the family? Look at that guy across the street. He's a fantastic baseball player. He happens to be a great singer. He's good in school. Couldn't you have gotten some of his qualities? You know, what does the kid think? I'm not good enough. I have to be like someone else. Being myself is not good enough. Or what if they felt they were never wanted? If the mom didn't want to have the kid, she wasn't ready to have the kid. What do you think the message of the kid is? I'm not wanted. Maybe I should have never been born. This impacts the kid hugely up to the age I found of 12 or 13. So therefore, from age 0 to 13, whatever said or done, especially 0 to 7, is taken into the subconscious as the gospel truth. It doesn't matter how horrible it could be, physical, mental abuse. Many people I've worked with have had these things. That imprints their subconscious. And whatever those decisions they make and the people they attract in their life, most importantly, are a result of this patterning. So this bullying pattern I had, for example, was the imprints that my ancestors had. And my father was bullied also. And so he drew bullying bosses, bullying circumstances, and that led to his high blood pressure, which eventually took him out. All of this could have been reversed if I had known this technology back then. But so then there's a phase four. And what's phase four? Phase four is when you incorporate phase one, two, and three, which I just discussed, into your own life. And you end up duplicating what your parents and grandparents did in their lives, the limiting things and limiting thoughts, limiting perceptions, into your own life, create the same sort of situations they did, and then later into your kids' lives, and then your kids do the same thing. And this cycle keeps repeating. So I created this life transformation technology program from what I was taught. I took what he taught me, I polished some things with my engineering background, streamlined a few things, and created this life transformation technology program. This program will clear those four phases so you don't keep repeating these patterns forever. You break out of those limiting patterns and you create whole new patterns that were never created before.
Wow.
And for your kids too.
That's amazing. So let me ask you this. If you had a dream tonight, ran into a 18-year-old version of you, and there was a film projector in the room and you clicked play and it showed the life that you've lived, would that young version of you believe your life turned out this way?
I think he'd be like, what? Are you kidding me? This should be a motion picture.
Yeah.
Because it can't. It seems hard to believe this. Yeah. But it's true. Yeah. That's probably, in fact, and speaking about 18-year-olds, I see people 18 on up. They are the most, I'm just saying, easiest to work with because they're just barely getting into the world. And you know, I say, okay, let's do this. Now listen to this song, listen to this frequency, do this. Okay. And then boom, they just get those changes right away.
Yeah.
Who said, well, Deepak, I've done 40 years of meditation and all this, so I think I'll have a step up in your scale. I said, I just want to tell you, sir, everyone starts out the same with me. It doesn't matter how many years of whatever. We're starting on a new playing field altogether. So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. We're starting at ground zero, no matter what you've done in the past. And so, because oftentimes those people will have their own resistance. Well, I've done all these things before. And I'm like, No, you haven't.
Right.
But the kid doesn't have that. See, they just like, oh yeah, sure, whatever you say. And they
Yeah.
get results like this. So yeah, but I've worked with people from age 18 to 90, and the lady who was 90 didn't understand the technology at all. And by the way, you don't need to. And I was able to clear 65 years of depression that she was seeing someone, a talk therapist for 65 years. She was 90 and she wasn't able to clear the depression in a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of that time. I was able to clear what she didn't clear in her whole life. And she didn't have to understand it at all.
Wow. So after all of this time, when you look back on that highlight reel of your life, what are you the happiest about, the proudest of?
Oh, the fact that I learned myself that this is not a, some this bullying pattern was not something I was destined to live my whole life with, living with horrible, negative, narcissistic, mean people in my whole life, that I wasn't destined to this, drawing on, and also negative situations. I noticed when I do this work on people, the law of attraction seems to bring positive situations and circumstances in their life too. In fact, it's a spiral up. Everyone knows about the spiral down. There's a spiral up as well. So what makes me the happiest is I found it's a program, and that everyone, not only that, everyone has these programs that they're not even consciously aware of. And if I can release these programs in people, because I can hear things that they won't know is within them, they can live a life that they never dreamed of too. And by the way, that makes me even happier than what happened within my own life. That's why I love doing it. I'm as passionate with the first person as I am with the thousand, because I know their life will never be the same again. And also another thing I found out, Joe, you'll get a voice like you've never had in your life, guaranteed. Because the principle of this is, and the concept of this is, that when we have these limiting negative thoughts, anger, frustration, depression, fears, phobias, emotional trauma, guilt, regret, whatever, different emotions squash different notes of our voice from being heard. So if you imagine all 60 trillion cells in our body have a keyboard in it, if we have these different emotions, a lot of the notes could be squashed. So we are not fully heard. And guess what? If we're not fully heard, we're not fully seen. If we're not fully seen, we're not acknowledged, appreciated, valued, understood, and almost dismissed. So when we release these limiting patterns, imagine those are like sitting on the keys of our internal
Yeah.
piano. Those keys play, and you are guaranteed going to be heard and like you've never been heard before.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I'm curious. Everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, clients, everyone around you, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
I think I'm a person that's discovering that I can do unlimited things that I didn't know I could do. I'm just being very open about it. So what I thought, oh, like I never thought I'd be doing this work and leave engineering and do this. That's for sure. But I never thought I would transform thousands of lives all over the US and world either, based on just the bullying pattern I went through in my life. I mean, I had people at gunpoint. I mean, they wouldn't be around. And if they were, and then because they're around, they were so happy they created foundations and things like that wouldn't have happened had I not intervened. So I'm like, I was able to do this? I worked on a lady who was pushing drugs on kids. And, I didn't know that at the time because she wanted to come to me for depression and stuff. And then I found out what she was doing. I wasn't happy about that, but I worked on her. And guess what happened? Her whole mindset transformed, and she suddenly woke up and said, "What am I doing? This is horrible. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. In fact, I'm going to form a foundation to stop people doing what I was doing, pushing these." And she formed a foundation to actually do the opposite of what she was doing. I couldn't have imagined that that could something like that could happen. So you're right. I'm amazed at what I was able to do, not only for myself, but especially for others. And I'm so inspired of what I can do for everyone.
So, speaking of, you've done a wonderful, wonderful overview of the work and how you got here. If anybody wants to hit that next step and heal themselves, where do they go? How can they reach out and do that?
Oh, absolutely, Joe. So what they can do is go to my website, which is fastanxietyhelp.com. So it's FASTANXIETY, help, HELP.com. If they go to that website, they can not only read about my work, I encourage them to read the testimonials, of which there are plenty of, because you might connect with some of those people and see the amazing results they had. But most importantly, after you do that, go ahead and sign up for a complimentary 15-minute consult with me, no obligations, through Zoom. Because in that complimentary consult with me, I will listen to all the challenges you've went through, all the struggles and upsets you've gone through, and I will customize for you a personalized plan of how to clear those patterns and take you from the challenging place you are to the ideal place you'd like to be in your life.
That's wonderful. I will put all these links in the show notes. What a wonderful, uplifting story. Thank you so much for taking a minute out. Best of luck. Keep changing the world. This is wonderful.
Thank you, Joe, for having me on your show.
Thanks for tuning in to another famous interview with Joe Dimino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, music, and more from around the globe. Our esteemed theme music was composed and produced by the great E.E. Pointer of Kansas City's River Cow Orchestra. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino channel on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.